Okay, everybody. What we've got going for us today is we have two people in the house. We have Terry Bjerke, who is a very famous name around the Grand Forks area on Conservative Talk Radio. And we have Jared Hendricks, who is not a famous name. But what we're going to do is we're going to have Jared, go ahead there. We're going to have Jared tell us exactly who he is and why he's on Common Sense Uncensored today. Jared, why are you here?
Hey, Kit, thanks for having me. So I've been involved in politics in North Dakota for about the last 10 years. I'm the chairperson of the Term Limits Sponsoring Committee to apply term limits on the North Dakota governor and the state legislature. I'm a Republican district chair elected in Minot in District 38. I've been involved in a number of political campaigns across the state, both statewide and legislative, as well as what I'm most proud about is being a grassroots organizer and grassroots lobbyist, organizing people around various conservative causes, primarily constitutional rights, those sorts of things.
Okay, so basically, you were one of the people that was behind the term limits petition and that type of thing, right? Correct?
Yes.
Okay, so what I'm looking for today is I'm going to now go to Terry. So, Terry, hey.
How you doing?
Doing okay.
It's great. It's great to be in here. It's the only good thing, a bad thing is if we go too far to the right, we might fall over. But be on with Jared. And I worked with I've worked with Jared on different campaigns, and I was part of the committee, sponsoring committee for the term limits. And so I think we should discuss the two things today. I think we want to talk about is how the term limit and maybe a little bit even how the Fufong petitions have been handled, as opposed to this other petition for the constitutional measure, which I have filed a formal complaint for the collection of invalid signatures, and we get into that. And the other thing I think we need to do is talk about Governor Burgum, who's a fine Democrat, and his plan to attempt to eliminate conservatives and to put forth a Democratic, and I don't mean that in the Democratic sense, I mean in the Democrat, policies across the state of North Dakota.
I'm looking forward to getting into this because I know a fair amount about the Fufong and some of the other issues, but I don't know a whole lot about the background on the term limits. So, Jared, I'm going to turn this over to you. Would you give me a background on what the term limit petition thing was and what exactly went down?
Sure. Yeah, so I think first I'll just start with what it is because that's the most important thing. The most important thing is the issue itself. And I think that could even perhaps provide some explanation as to why there's been a lot of resistance from, you know, the what I call the political class in North Dakota. But what our ballot measure does is a constitutional measure. If passed, it would be on the November ballot, theoretically. If passed, it would apply 2 4-year term limits to the office of North Dakota governor and 2 4-year term limits to the office of state senate and state House. So in other words, you could actually serve a total of 8 years in the state house, and then you could switch to the state senate in the same district and serve an additional 8 years. So you could serve 16 years in the legislature, and then you could serve as governor for another 8 years if you wanted to. So you could be in there for 24 years. I think 24 years is enough public service. And that's what the ballot measure does. Now, North Dakota is kind of an outlier when it comes to the governor. There's only 14 states that do not have term limits on their governor because the governor is obviously the top executive. It's a very powerful position, does a lot of appointments, is very important. And this is based on what we've had from the beginning of this country, the standard that was set by George Washington, a man who could have been king, who voluntarily term limited himself to terms. Now, keep in mind, we didn't have a constitutional amendment on term limits for president until after FDR had been elected to 4 terms and, of course, died during his 4th term, but was elected to 4 terms. And then we eventually passed the term limits. So now you can only have 2 terms as president. But that was always the standard. So we've modeled this on what we call the George Washington standard. And if you look at the states that have term limits on the legislature, you do see a positive correlation between legislators who have a incentive to sort of quote unquote lockbox their legislation from bureaucratic interference because they know they're only going to be there so long. And so this is a very good trend, but there's actually only 15 states that have term limits on the legislature. So if we pass that in North Dakota, we'd be a little bit ahead of the curve, but we'd be behind the, we're already behind the curve on the term limits for governor. Because like I said, most states already have term limits for governor. We have no term limits for governor. Governor Burgum, for example, who is in office, he could continue to be in office until the day he dies if he chose to.
Okay, so I'm going to interrupt you for a second, because what I want to know is, Terry, I understand everything that he said, and I have to agree, serving your country, serving for your state and stuff was supposed to be a burden, not a perk, which is not what it appears to have turned out to be. So when you got involved in this, what got you going to make you say, hey, this needs to be done?
Well, I was on the city council in Grand Forks, and I term limited myself. After 8 years, I ran for mayor in a different position because I wasn't going to be a career. And what I saw at the local level, which I think goes to the state and to the federal level, is they become far too comfortable with lobbyists. And on a side note, I'm not opposed to lobbyists. I probably belong to 20 conservative organizations. I can't go to D.C. to lobby. I need somebody. So I'm not opposed to lobbyists. But my point is, though, they get too entrenched with lobbyists. And more importantly, they become too entrenched with the bureaucrats. They become, and once again, I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, but as an elected official, my best friend should not be the employees of the city or the state or whatever. I'm supposed to be watching out for them to protect the people, right, as opposed to being their buddies. And they become entrenched. And if I heard it once, I heard it a million times, comments like this. Well, the staff recommends this. Well, that's nice. That's their job to recommend. Doesn't mean I have to do anything about it. The city attorney would recommend something. Well, that's fine, but I don't have to take his legal advice. I got to bring it myself. Or we need to do this or we need to do that. And they stop, in my opinion, they stop thinking, they stop questioning. They just, somebody gives them something and they do that. They become, and the other thing I noticed is they become power hungry. They can't let it go. I saw people, I mean, you see it at all levels, different, at, once you get to the state and federal level, they literally are dying in office. I know of a candidate who's running, and Jared probably knows who I'm going to talk about here, who's running, who's not the endorsed candidate in the district, who's in his 70s with a deadly disease. I mean, he's going to die from it. Hey, enjoy your family. Move on. Oh, that's right. You can't, because you can't give the power up. You can't let a conservative in there. And so to me, the big thing, and I couldn't agree more with the George Washington thing. If it's good enough for George Washington, the father of our country, it should be good enough for everyone. And it shows you the character of that man, as opposed to the character of the men and the women who cannot give up the power. There are plenty of people who have the brain power and are qualified to do it. They're so important. No, they're not.
Well, you know, the funny thing about, we keep mentioning George Washington and stuff, but we have to remember he lived through royalty, through kings and
That's
queens
right, exactly.
and dukes and duchesses. So he had the experiment. We voted our own in.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that slays me so bad, is we done this. And now we can't get rid of them. And we even try to do something with, like, term limits. Now, Jared, what was your experience with the petition and stuff? How did that come down? Because I've heard varying stories from, you didn't write it right, you didn't do this. But I got to tell you, they eliminated 29,000 signatures. I mean, wow, that's more than an oops. So how did they come up with this?
Yeah, it's a very strange set of circumstances. I haven't seen anything quite like it. So what happened is we went out and we worked hard. We gathered 46,000 signatures. The requirement is about 31,100 or so signatures to get placed on the ballot constitutionally. And you always want to get more signatures than you need, because inevitably some get thrown out. It's a big operation to gather signatures. You know, sometimes you get someone who doesn't do their job right, or you get somebody, their handwriting's just terrible, or their address is wrong, so on and so forth. I mean, things happen. So you always assume that some are going to get thrown out. So we got a lot of extra signatures for that very reason. We got 15,000 more than we needed. We submitted what I think is a record number of signatures. And so those were submitted. There's a 35-day window for the Secretary of State's office to review those signatures. And then at the end of that period of time, they then decide to approve or not approve. and they decided to not approve. They disqualified 63% of our signatures. And there's a lot of claims made. And some of those claims included, for example, based on hearsay, that there were people paid per signature, which is a violation of North Dakota statute. There were accusations of likely forgery, fraud from inexpert analysis. There were, for example, they threw out a large chunk of 7,015 signatures that they claimed were collected prior to the date of the beginning of circulation, which would have made them invalid. But that's actually not true. Actually, they claimed that about 8,300 of them, but there were over 7,000 of those that were not collected before that deadline. So that's just an example of an entire chunk that was invalidated for reasons that seems to, from our point of view, to be invalid. Now, we had a 20-day period after the 35-day period to do what's called curing, mm-hmm. where our committee was allowed to look at the documents from the Secretary of State, go through them. We had a legal team we put together, and they went through them. And that's where we started to find some of these, what appear to be either oversights or sloppiness from the Secretary of State's office. And so we have had our legal team has now sent multiple letters to the Secretary of State's office, actually two letters, as well as several requests for information, trying to get to the bottom of exactly what's going on. The Secretary of State's office has been reasonably cooperative in giving us that information. And a lot of it, I can't talk about it for legal reasons at this point. But I can tell you that it looks quite odd to me. And we believe from what we've seen so far that there was no justification in throwing this out.
Can I ask you this question? Of the 29,000 that got thrown out, I think when people think of signatures get thrown out, you know, the wrong state.
Right.
And such, like you said, Jared, stuff's going to happen. But the scribbled signatures, wrong state, those kind of thing. About how many signatures do you think were thrown out for what we would all agree would be valid reasons? You know, that out of state, scribbled, whatever. Of the 29,000, how many do you think would you consider valid throwouts, we'll say? You know, an approximate number.
Yeah, and I don't have an exact number, and I have to be somewhat careful in how I answer that, but I would say a very small portion.
And my point is this. They've thrown out, let's just say, and this is just me, not you. Let's just say, this is now a hypothetical. So you throw out a couple, two, three. This is 25,000
yes.
valid signatures from people in the state of North Dakota who are being told, you did what you were supposed to do. You signed it correctly. Your voice doesn't count because the Secretary of State decided just throw them out on a whim. I mean, that's me, not you. But you understand, doesn't it not say to the people of this state, what's the purpose of signing a petition? Because if a certain group of people don't like it, it's not going to pass.
And the other thing that I have a problem with is the fact that what would it hurt for them to bring this to a vote? Because the only people it's going to hurt is who? The people that are sitting in the chairs right now. So what are they so bloody defensive of? And that's what this looks like to me is they're using the power of the Secretary of State's office to just openly nullify the voice of the people. Jared, am I wrong in that?
I mean, you know,
I know you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, but
my answer, and I'm not saying this to be funny, but like my answer is that I can't speculate or conjecture on what the motivation is. I can only tell you what I've seen in this process, and it's quite troubling to me. I've actually been quite surprised. Like for example, there were in some of the petitions, and we had volunteers, they were going through these, you know, line by line, trying to figure out what's going on. And of course, we had only 20 days to do it versus they had 35 days to do it. And, you know, government funding and staff behind it. But we were trying to look through as many as we could. And one of the things we noticed is that there were many, many, many instances where they were applying one standard to one signature and not the same standard to another. So in other words, there might have been one with maybe scribbly signature that was invalidated and another with a scribbly signature, but you could clearly determine looking up in the database who that person was, and they did validate that one. So that means you're applying one standard to one voter and then under a totally different standard, arbitrarily denying the right to petition to that other person. So that's a serious legal and potentially constitutional question. So, and again, that's just an example. There's a lot of things that I wish I could get into a little more detail, but we'll have to save that maybe for another time in the future here, the near future. But there are a lot of very startling questions in this process.
Well, one thing we have standards for is the Southtown Poorhouse. So I tell you what, I'm going to use this as a blatant promotion right now. Southtown Poorhouse, where every day is a great day. Stop in for your favorite drinks and, of course, happy hour, half-price apps and taps every day from 4 to 6. And you can't forget about Buck Burgers on Tuesdays and the awesome steak specials on Thursdays at 6. Make sure to check out the Southtown Poorhouse events page to find out when your favorite band is playing live. Every day is a great day at Southtown Poorhouse, 2015 Library Circle next to the Grand Cities Mall, open Tuesdays through Saturday from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. Now hiring, great pay, flexible hours, part-time or full-time, employee discounts, and you get a free cover on band night. So if you're looking for something to do, whether you want to be an employee or just a customer, check out Southtown Poorhouse. Okay, now that we've made that unbelievably important profit margin.
That's because we're pro-capitalism here, right, Jared?
Well, I tell you what, guys, I'm just dumbfounded because this seems to me like such a blatant abuse of power.
And if we can tie it into Grand Forks, Jared, I don't know how much you know about the Fufong issue here and how much you followed it, but they submitted, and I'm going to round numbers off.
Okay.
I think they needed roughly 3,600. They submitted 53. 4,700 plus were deemed valid. So they had over 1,000 more valid signatures than needed. And then their petition got thrown out because they said the language wasn't good enough. It didn't meet the criteria. So I guess my point would be, once again, it's Jared can't say anything, but it doesn't matter if you got the signatures or not. It doesn't matter what it seems is written down. If it's not liked, it's not going to get approved. That's the message. The two petitions I've seen recently, one for signatures, another one is they didn't like the language. They threw it out even though they had – even though they went through the signatures and they still had well over 1,000 more than what they needed, now the language wasn't good enough, so they threw that out.
Okay, so you're going to have to forgive me, because here's the deal. Whether it was written in Pig Latin, and as long as the point was valid that it was supposed to get across, if people had signed that, if I was the person in power who wasn't willing to abuse that power, I would say, it appears to me that the people have something that they would like to do. Maybe we should do it.
If I was on the city council, and I was, and almost 5,000 people, which there are times we have elections and you don't get 5,000 people to vote.
Correct.
If 5,000 people said, I want to vote on this, it's pretty clear. Put it up for a vote.
Jared, what's the deal with all of those signatures? Now that they've been thrown out, and I know you're kind of at a block here, but could you tell me what you're doing? I know you've got a lawsuit going and stuff, but what are you asking for?
Yeah, so, well, to be clear, we don't have a lawsuit going. However, I'll tell you that we're not done with the issue.
Okay,
I think I can phrase it that way. And we are, you know, continuing to gather information. We're still getting information we've requested from the Secretary of State's office to review. We've requested, for example, all communications related to this measure. We've requested all documents about the process they've used internally. We've requested, you know, any communication related to an investigation of the signatures through the Attorney General's office, et cetera. So we're gathering, you know, what, you know, you would need theoretically for the initial discovery. So we're doing that. Really, this is something that's, if there's going to be a different outcome, it's going to have to come through the courts. And if it comes in time before the ballots are printed, which we think is certainly possible, then this still could end up on the ballot in November and voters will get a chance to vote on it, which is a very good thing. I mean, term limits has about 82% favorability. We have polling data in the state of North Dakota. And that's a pretty high number. And I'm not naive. I know that the opposition would come out and that number would probably get down a little bit lower. I don't know that it would be 82% on election day, but it's a hugely popular issue is the point. And what's amazing about it is it's across the spectrum. You know, I mean, I'm a conservative. I know Terry's conservative. You're conservative. But this is equally popular with Democrats, liberals, and moderates. It's because most people inherently understand that turnover is a good thing. Fresh ideas are a good thing. Whatever side of the spectrum you're on, it's healthy and it's good for a democratic society.
Well, I got to ask you a question then. And Terry, you can chime in on this one too. Because, okay, so if it's going to go down to the courts, so the Secretary of State's office is throwing this out. What are the odds are that the AG's office is going to help, that the courts are – I mean, this looks like an entire across-the-board attempt to just nullify the will of the people and that everybody's pretty much walking hand in glove.
I guess we'll find out about the court. I mean, as we've seen at the national level,
yeah,
flip a coin and depends if you get a judge that believes in the Constitution or you don't. That's – It's just remember, we just put someone on the Supreme Court that I think is a woman. Not sure because she's not sure. And so the point being is the judge doesn't know what a woman is, but they're ruling on
abortion.
These kind of issues.
Yeah, and these stuff.
So, yeah, I hate leaving it to the courts. But I also want to tie into this, and Jared knows this. I called him on this. There's now a measure up, and they're supposed to rule on this any day. I don't know if you've heard yet, the Secretary of State. They put it has to do with the constitutional measure change and how we vote on constitutional measures and how many items could be on it. And I filed a formal complaint with the Secretary of State's office that invalid signatures have been collected. And so I gave my, I don't care, I gave my name, I gave my address, I gave the date to the event, and happened to be at a Republican event where ballot petitions were being passed around and signatures were being collected, not per state law. So we're going to find out now with it, when this thing comes out, because they're barely over. I also know that at the chamber here in town, they had a place you could fill out to sign. And unless the receptionist was the one on the form to collect the signatures, if it wasn't him or her, then those are not going to be valid because they weren't standing there to watch it. The point is you have to watch the person sign it.
Right.
So I filed a formal complaint. We're going to find out what happens there, because they're barely, I don't know, Jared, I believe that decision is due any day now, isn't it?
Jared, yeah, can you answer that?
Yeah, they have 35-day window as well, which I believe is up on Friday, this coming Friday, I believe. So they would have, the Secretary of State would have to issue a decision. And what's interesting is, and again, the requirement for a constitutional measure is a little over 31,000 signatures. They submitted, I believe, just under 34,000. And so if that measure gets approved after 46,000 signatures that we submitted, 63% of those were rejected, that alone would look, transparently quite strange to me. So we'll see what happens. But, I've heard that there were a lot of problems in the process for collecting signatures for that measure. Again, I can only speculate. I heard things that are rumors. I don't like stating things that I don't have, clear facts to back it up. So we'll see what happens with that. But there is, there is definitely a pretty big difference between where the political class is behind that measure versus the term limits measure. The 60% measure, which we can talk about the issue itself if you want to, but the 60% measure is heavily backed by the Chamber of Commerce financially. It was also supported at least by a small group of district chairs and party leaders last summer at the Republican roundup. By the way, the vote to endorse that measure was 57-1. I was the only person that voted no. And that was partly because I don't support the measure, obviously. But the other reason is that I object to the process of saying that the Republican Party supports this measure. And my response was, who's the Republican Party? The Republican Party is its members. It's the delegates. The delegates never voted on supporting that measure. It's a small group of district chairs that think they can think for everybody else. So I objected to that whole process.
Well, that's one thing I've really discovered too, is the fact that we seem to have within the Republican Party in North Dakota and everything else, another class of a hierarchy of dukes, duchesses, whatever you want, who have decided against that they're going to think and say what is best for us and ignore the actual people that live in this state. And it's becoming very frustrating to me that they're very open about it. You don't matter. Your money does. If please donate to the Republican Party with as much as y'all got, but up until you want to say something or you want to go against the grain of the narrative that they're pushing, you're worthless, you're dirt, and the attacks are coming, and they will not stop.
I think all three of us have seen this. If you're a conservative,
mm-hmm.
they want your money, they want us to pass out flyers, they want us to put up yard signs,
yep.
I can go on and on and on. But don't you dare run to be a district chair, and don't you dare run for a local office, even a nonpartisan. You know, I saw Republicans, when I ran for mayor, I saw the leadership of the Republican Party in this city with yard signs for my opponent, who was a Democrat, who yeah. endorsed Heidi Heitkamp over Kevin Cramer in 2018. Don't you dare run for nonpartisan election, and don't you dare run for the state legislator. And Jerry, is that what you – because that's what I see as a conservative. They want my work and my time and my money, but they do not want me to run for anything where I could have a position of influence or try change
things. And don't forget your input.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't you dare say anything unless it's to compliment me, because anything else I don't want to hear.
Sign the check and put the sign up and do what you're told.
Hell
what,
yeah.
What do you think, Jared?
Well, there's definitely a disconnect between – most party leadership and what I would say your rank and file party members and frankly Republican voters. I'll give you one example. We had a resolution that was presented to the state committee, which is made up of all the district chairs. It's the same group that voted to endorse that measure we were talking about. And I put in a resolution. It was a 4.5-page resolution, extremely detailed on election integrity. And that committee basically gutted it. They took one tiny little section on HR1 and passed that and rejected the whole thing. And you can't ask for a better microcosm of disconnect between where leadership is at and where most voters are at. And so that's a real challenge. But the only way to overcome it is to get people in positions of leadership that are actually going to see it differently. And that's why conservatives, folks that care about these issues, need to show up. I mean, I say it all the time. You have to show up. If you show up one time and you don't win, show up the next time with more people and you will win. That's how it works. And you've got to be willing to do the work. You've got to have both sides of that coin. You got to be willing to do the work and keep the party strong and do what needs to be done for the party to function. But at the same time, lead on the issues that matter. And one thing finally on that, too, because when you guys were talking about the Fufang petition, and I'll be honest, I'm not much of an expert on how a lot of the local petitions work. So I'm not going to speak to the specifics of it, but I will say in general, one of the main criticisms you see, especially from the legislature and from leadership in this state, is that, oh, they list out all these problems with the ballot measures, this problem, that problem, it's terribly written, you know, and it's typically that argument is made with this sort of condescending arrogance,
yes.
as if the legislature doesn't pass bills all the time that are terribly written. But anyway, they make this statement and I'm always like, well, look, if that's a problem, then let's fix it. I mean, maybe people who are developing ballot measures need to get access to advisement from legislative counsel, for example. I'm not saying that's the solution, but maybe that's something that could happen. There are things you could do to help streamline that process without choking the process, without shutting the people out of the ballot process. You don't want to restrict the process. It's in our Constitution. It's the powers reserved to the people. And it says that the legislature can only pass laws that enhance that process and that power, not encumber it. So we need to get back to the fundamentals.
But you really pegged it, because the thing is they have to have the desire to hear us. They have to have the desire to allow us to participate in the process, and they have no desire for that at all. In fact, I'm going off the camp here, because I'm actually going collecting signatures right now to run for District 20 as an independent, because I can't stomach running as a Republican or a Democrat in that district, because none of them speak for me. And I've been out knocking on doors and talking to people, and I won't say shocked, but a little surprised at the number of people that look at me and go, hand me that thing. I'm going to sign it, because I agree with you. Because I go, I'm an independent. I know that that's sort of an uphill battle and not normally the thing that one goes, because Republicans and Democrats are the thing, and that's the way it's supposed to go. But I'm sick and tired of both of these letters after whoever's name getting absolutely nothing done, paying no attention to the people they're supposed to represent, not rule, and pretty much telling me to sit down, shut up, and go away. But again, as we referred to with Terry, I'd be more than glad to have your time and your dime. And so I'm going to go out there and attempt to get on the ballot as an independent. And do I expect to win? I hope to. Do I expect to? No. Why? Because the R and the D is so entrenched, and these people, I'll put it quite frankly, don't play fair. And I know life ain't fair. Get over it. But, you know, when you're already starting an uphill battle and somebody's standing at the top from both sides throwing grease down because they don't want their power and they don't want their influence to be taken away, that's why I was so hoping that we would get some of these term limits and stuff coming, because, man, I'm seeing some stuff out here that is not good. Terry, I know you've run across it just from being, you know, in the city council.
Well, yeah, and also maybe get Jared involved. Maybe we could slide a little bit over, because I'm going to talk about this. Jared, Governor Burgum's thrown a ton of money into a PAC to take out conservatives. And I'll kind of start with this, and then maybe you two can go off too. But there's an old proverb. You know, what I've heard from Republicans for years is, we need a big tent. Well, there's a proverb about a camel in a tent. And the camel's nose gets in the tent, and you let him in, and you don't do anything about it. And then a little while later, it turns out the camel's in the tent, and you're out. And what I tell people is, all those people that voted for Conrad, Dorgan, and Pomeroy, they didn't all leave the state and move away. They're still here. And they're not in the Democratic Party anymore, as witnessed by the fact that they have their convention meeting in a phone booth. So where did they all go? And so I personally believe that they're in the Republican Party now. And I think our governor is one of them. So I got a lot more to say, but Jared, do you have any, what's your thoughts on the attempt? And they can do, I'm not saying anything's illegal, but I just think people need to know that the governor wants to have a bunch of people that conservatives would consider. Frankly, I guarantee if this was Wyoming and some other real red states, what we're up against is the Democrats have infiltrated the Republican Party, and that's who's attempting to take over the party, in my opinion. I don't know. Jared, what do you think?
Well, on the governor's money, I think, like you were saying, it's legal. And yes, I mean, the governor has First Amendment rights. He's been successful. He can spend his money to help express his opinion and get it out there. Voters equally, and those of us in politics equally, have the right to tell everybody that he's doing it too. So that's fair game. Although it is an interesting legal question, when you think about if the governor of a state went down to the legislative chamber and was to hand a legislator $1,000 prior to a vote that was important to the governor, that would be seen as transparently corrupt. But you can spend $1 million in a super PAC trying to get those same legislators elected. So it is an interesting question legally, but yeah, it's legal, but it's also perfectly fair game to talk about it. But you know what Kit said about being an independent is interesting, because if you look at polling data, and I've seen polling data statewide when I was on Kevin Cramer's campaign, we did a lot of polling statewide. And when you look at the polling data, a plurality of North Dakotans identify as independent. They identify as independent much more so than Republican or Democrat. So there's a big swing demographic, and we've seen that over the decades. And that's kind of, Terry, to your point, where the Dorgan voters might be going and where these folks might be going. And it's not all a bad thing, because Trump, for example, I mean, I'm a Republican. I supported Trump. But Trump got a lot of swing voters who were formerly Democrats, a lot of your blue collar working class folks. And so, you know, things shift over the decades. That's just part of the normal thing. But my bigger point is that it's the issues that really drive the voters. And so if the voters feel like right now that the Democratic Party is extremely far left, then yes, you're going to have a swing that's voting Republican. That's why Republicans are winning largely in this state. It doesn't mean that all of those voters are extremely loyal to the Republican brand. They're loyal to the issues that they perceive Republicans to be rallying behind, which goes to my point, the battle that I fought in the party, which is trying to get the party to stand stronger for its platform or its principles, because that is what is really driving people to it. And that's the further irony of the money that the governor is spending, which is targeting mostly conservative candidates, because all of his campaign literature, in the campaign literature that's attacking, in some cases, conservative candidates, he's claiming that his candidates are conservative. So he knows that the conservative message is what resonates. And so do the candidates. That's why they're saying it.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a really quick profit break here for Executive Properties. And we're going to let you know that if you've been putting off that remodel or something new, you're around your house long enough. Well, here you go. Let Executive Properties get it done. Executive Properties for decks, window sidings, all kinds of stuff. You get the idea. Executive Properties will take the time to listen to what you want done, and then they'll do it right with over 30 years of experience. Let Barry Romo and the crew take care of you, always offering senior and referral discounts and willing to work with any budget. For all your general contractor needs, call Executive Properties at 701-330-1273 or check out the website at www.executiveproperties.org and make sure to check out their reviews on Facebook and Google. You know, it's an interesting thing that you mentioned because I just love this stuff because I've been getting all of the flyers and things, and they're touting, and I know that this is on Burgum's money, but they're touting things like farmer, outsider, conservative leaders, the headline on one of my flyers, and another one, lifelong farmer, not a politician. I mean, it's all the talking points that we're used to hearing. And when I go out and I talk to the people and I've got my little clipboard and they're signing, the one thing they'll tell you is they're so tired of people taking advantage of them and saying the same crap over and over and over again and still getting nothing done. It's like, you know, fool me once, you know, that phrase that Bush bastardized, yeah. Okay? But I'm just saying, here's the thing, guys. I'm tired. And everybody I talk to goes, yeah, we get it. We're tired too. And we don't have millions of dollars to put behind the campaigns. Marv and Riley are two independents. Marv's running for Secretary of State, and Riley's trying to get Hovind's position, and they're paying for it out of their pockets and with the few people that are, you know, willing to put money behind them or can put money behind them in this economy. And that's the other thing. You know, you've got people that are willing to give you $5, $10, and that's awesome, but you're up against people that are willing to give $5,000, $10,000 or more. And while I'm not saying that that's a problem, because it's fair, it's the way it is, but it's leaving the market for being a politician to those who can afford it. And that also is not the way this was designed. Am I correct there, Terry?
Yeah, and I also want to bring up, and Jared too, is I just find it interesting. I've talked to different Democrats and legislators. I hope people, and I bring this up as much as I can, I hope people are notice you don't... The Democratic Party in North Dakota, they're just as far left as the rest of the crazies, because remember they endorsed Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Last time. But I want you to point out to this, the Democrats at the state legislature, you do not hear them say, like if us three were in charge, they'd be screaming, they're not, the kids are starving, they're not giving, right? Have you heard any Democrat in elected office in the state of North Dakota say the state is not spending enough money? What you will hear is they might spend it a little differently here or there, but they're happy with the amount of money being spent. If we're a red state, the Democrats should have red faces screaming bloody murder because the budget is not what they want it to be. The fact that Governor Burgum's budgets are not criticized in the amount tells you we're overspending. Jared, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think so. And that's, again, it goes back to my point about the party not using the bully pulpit that it has. And it's a huge opportunity. We have a 7-to-1 supermajority. The party is dominant, Republican Party. We have every statewide elected official, etc. There's nothing that we can't do if we just simply set our minds to it. And see, that's the problem, though, that there's a lack of leadership in the party. If there was real leadership in the party, like what we had, for example, the national level with President Trump, you can get someone out there who's a strong enough voice that can rally the people behind an agenda and persuade the people on that agenda, explain why these Republican principles are going to result in policies in a community that's better for their families. That's what we should be doing. And but we're not having that. So you basically have, you know, everybody out there, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people out there complaining about this and that. And I'm always like, where's the solutions? You know, and you get into these discussions about party insiders and infighting and all this stuff. And I just always try to dodge that because to me, it's just silly. What matters is the policies that end up resulting that affect our families. That's what matters. And if we could just get some leadership and use that bully pulpit of the Republican Party, it could actually be an incredibly powerful engine for change.
But they are using that. Unfortunately, they're using it for the wrong thing. They're using it to attack people by calling them the ultra-right. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard press releases and other things. Well, the ultra-right has this comment. You know, like I've grown Nazi stormtrooper epaulets and jackboots that I'm wearing. And then, you're right, they have no plan. I'm looking at a flyer here, lower taxes. He's got plenty of space to tell me how he plans to do that. What does he say? Fight to reduce taxes. Protect our schools. Got plenty of space on this large flyer here to tell me how to do that. Supports the rights of parents. Defend law enforcement. Not a freaking plan in this thing. It's all bloody talking points that mean he's going to do absolutely nothing. And then tell everybody, but I tried really, really hard. What do you think, Tara?
Well, I got a couple of points I want to bring up. Number one is whenever someone tries to say those on the right are Nazis, just remind them the word socialist is in the Nazi party name. Number two, Google the Nazi party platform from the 20s. Read it. Compare it to the Democratic Party platform. You will not see much difference. So something I've heard for a long time now, too, another thing they try and go after the so-called far right is if Ronald Reagan were alive today, he would not be part of the far right. So real quick, I just want a couple minutes here. I'm going to read some quotes from Ronald Reagan. All right.
Yep.
You tell me if Doug Burgum would say these things. Here we go. And tell me if Ronald Reagan would not be one of us. The most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government. I'm here to help. As government expands, liberty contracts. Government's view of the economy could be summed up in a few short phrases. If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. If it stops moving, subsidize it. Government is not a solution to our problem. Government is the problem. We must reject the idea that every time a law is broken, society is guilty rather than a lawbreaker. It is time to restore the American precept that each individual is accountable for his or her own actions. No government ever voluntarily reduces itself in size. Government programs once launched never disappear. Actually, a government bureau is the nearest thing to eternal life we will see on this earth. Government does not solve problems, it subsidizes them. The best minds are not in government. If any were, business would steal them away. Here you go. I love this. Unemployment insurance is a prepaid vacation for freeloaders. Remember that every government service, every offer of government financial security is paid for in the loss of personal freedom. In the days to come, whenever a voice is raised telling you to let the government do it, analyze very carefully to see what the suggested service is, if it's worth the personal freedom you must forego in return for such service. I can go on and on. I don't know about you, Jared, but it sounds like if Ronnie were alive today, he'd be one of us.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so for sure. And what's funny is, you know, the far right or ultra conservative labels, you know, the way I like to deal with that is I like to kind of flip it around and punch back. And I like to say, look, in a 7-1 super Republican majority state in the middle of a pandemic last session, Republicans did not pass one single substantial tax cut bill. That's not far right. Tax cuts are not far right. That's mainstream. What's extreme is to not do that in a state that's sitting on approximately 28 some billion dollars in funds to not give families struggling in a pandemic tax relief. That's extreme. So you got to flip it around on them, because the people that don't want common sense conservative philosophy that is consistent with the Republican Party platform, they're the extremists, because what they want is out of the mainstream. And I guarantee you, if you go talk to most Republican primary voters, they agree with us on the Republican platform issues. Guarantee you. In fact, probably even more so than you might think. Take for example, Trump won the state with, what, about 63%. If you actually poll North Dakotans on Trump's position on immigration, it probably has a much higher favorability than Trump himself, because there's even Democrats that agree on that issue. Because I know during the Kramer-Heitkamp race, when we, the polling data showed that when we attacked Heidi on sanctuary cities, it actually moved moderate Democrats against her. So my point is, the issues are popular, and that kind of comes full circle back to what Terry was saying about a big tent. I've always said all along, I want a huge tent in the Republican Party, but that every tent has tent poles. It'll fall over in the wind. Okay. And those tent poles are the core issues that should unify the party, that people should rally behind. Yes, you should have a big tent party. You should have 5,000, 10,000 people at a state convention, 5 or 10,000 conservatives at a state convention. Yes, I want a big tent. I want a big tent of conservatives.
I also think we need to realize is that we're roughly 3 weeks away from a primary. Mm-hmm. Jared just mentioned we have $28 billion in the bank.
Yep.
We all know Bidenflation is killing the people. It's just I my oldest son's got 5 boys, right? So they spend a little money on groceries. It's starting to really affect people, the price of gas, the price of food, the price of goods and services. Have I missed something, either Kit or Jared? Has the leadership of the Republican Party of this state come forward with a massive tax cut plan to say, listen, we can't always address what the incompetent guy in the White House is doing right now, but we can do one thing. We've got too much money, and we're going to give it back to you to offset some of what the bad federal policy. We're 3 weeks from election. If I missed the Republican Party of this state putting out a plan for permanent tax relief to help the people in this state suffering from the incompetent clown in the White House?
Not that I've seen, but the solution is in front of us. I mean, if we elect good conservative legislators in these primaries, and that's the important thing to keep in mind, the election in North Dakota is in 3 weeks.
Yep.
3 weeks tomorrow. The election's not November. I mean, other than a few districts out east, the election is not going to be competitive for Democrats at all. The election in North Dakota is in 3 weeks, and that's what listeners need to understand. And they also need to understand that there is a side to inflation with what the legislature does. We can't totally absolve the state legislature from the impact of inflation, because whenever those federal dollars come into the state and they accept the strings that are attached to those dollars, and I'm not saying all those dollars are bad. There are some legitimate functions, but there's also a lot of waste and a lot of illegitimate things. Well, and whenever we accept that money, over and over and over, there's an inflationary effect, because that money comes from the printing press in Washington, D.C.
And another thing is, we've got that foundation that's got billions of dollars in it, and they could be utilizing some of that to relieve some of this inflation thing. My property taxes went up 75%, and I know people around me who has had property taxes go up more. Now, if I'm on a fixed income, do I have to choose between my medication, food, or my house?
Well, and you bring up a great point there. Because of inflation, the wages are up, which means the state collects more income tax. If I go to buy something at a local store, they're collecting more. If I'm paying 10% for that item,
correct,
then I'm paying more in sales tax. So I'm paying more income tax, I'm paying more sales tax. If the value of houses have now gone up because the value of lumber went up, my insurance goes up.
Yep.
My property tax goes, so the entities that collect property tax, they have. So the local and the state governments right now are reeling in the money.
Yeah,
they're
absolutely
coming in the boatloads. They still haven't wasted all their COVID money on top of all the oil money we get in the state. The fact that we have a governor who can't put forth a plan for massive permanent tax relief tells me one thing. He's a good friend of Tim Walz.
Well, and the thing is that when I get a flyer that tells me that someone's common sense plan for North Dakota is the policies of Joe Biden and the radical left of left North, I'm surprised they didn't blame Putin. But, for paying more for everything from gas to groceries, I will fight to reduce property taxes. I don't want you fighting. I want you to do something.
You know, and Jared, you can come on this. You've been along. Conrad Palmer and Dorgans, I saw their commercials for 20 years. the long sleeve shirt rolled up three quarters of the way, walking through a wheat field, yes, saying how they're going to fight for North Dakota. Isn't that what our Republicans are doing now, making the same commercials?
Yes.
Where are they going to start taking some action? Stop fighting and start doing. Your thoughts on that, Jared?
It's very easy to lay out platitudes, and it's very difficult to lay out specifics, because when you lay out specifics, then you, of course, get attacked and you take the arrows. But, you know, I'd rather somebody at least lay out a proposal. I mean, heck, even if I don't agree with it, at least they're thinking. At least they're trying to lay something out that's specific. And I can only speak for myself. That's the approach I try to take in the campaigns that I work on. And very often in most of these races, we're opposed by Burgum and a lot of that big money, and they put out these flyers with these platitudes, and we put out material that we try to get a little bit more specific about, because I think the people are looking for that. At least I think they are. But the other side of the coin is that, you know, we have a responsibility. We don't want to come across like we're just complaining about lack of leadership. If there's lack of leadership, we have to become the leaders. The conservatives out there that care have to become the leaders. And I know I'm preaching to the choir to you two, but we need people listening who agree with us to get out there to help these local conservative candidates. Get out there, donate what you can, help them knock on doors, write letters to the editor, spread the word, because most voters are out there. They're busy with their jobs, their families. They can't pay attention to all these little details, and that's part of the problem. They should pay attention. There's a lot of apathy. We need to fix that. But in the meantime, we all have a mission to do what we can to help spread the word, because voters are not dumb. I mean, if you get out there and explain these things to them, if they're getting that propaganda in the mail and you go and have a conversation with them, you can easily flip their vote. You just have to get out there and do the work.
Well, the one thing that I do know works is Biohack. Your life with supplements and body care with Stephanie Kranelka and Life Vantage, a science-based company that has dedicated its time to help people reach their health and wellness goals. Products can assist with personal skin and hair care, immune system health, anti-aging solutions, and even pet health. For more information, check out stephk.lifevantage.com or text 701-230-9306 or email skbesthealth@gmail.com. And with situations that are coming up, we are all going to have to take better care of our health, because I got to tell you, we can't afford to eat very much anymore. And I mean, a bag of potato chips, which I don't eat very often, is over $5. I got about, I would say, 7 items the other day, and it was almost $90. And if you look at that type of thing, yeah, if you look at this type of thing, and you add on your property taxes and everything else, people are going to be sitting in cardboard boxes on the streets pretty doggone soon. And I tell you what, hearing somebody say that they're going to fight to reduce taxes, support standards of law enforcement, and know the importance of agriculture in North Dakota don't mean jack to me right now. I'll tell you, Terry, I'm just so fed up with the platitudes, I could just scream.
And if all something Jared said earlier, too, I went to a couple different conventions on the platform committee. And Jared knows what I'm going to say here. The leadership of the Republican Party in this state hates the platform committee at the conventions. And they did everything they could to not even let the delegates vote on the platform. And then when the platform did pass, which us three would all support, I mean, the platform was extremely conservative. Then they go out, and if somebody brings up something that's on the platform in the media, they criticize, they apologize for it. So the people who were picked to be on the platform to write it are then insulted and said, we voted on this, this passed, this is what the party believes. And Jared, maybe you want to talk about that, because I know you have some involvement in that too.
Yeah. Well, just the irony of it is that many times people that criticize a platform or criticize trying to elect Republicans that at least are mostly adhering to the platform, they criticize and say, oh, you're just a small fringe group of far right people, just a small fringe group that's really effective at conventions, really effective at showing up. So your voice is disproportionate to where most Republican primary voters are. Yet at the same time, I go back to Burgum's PAC. Burgum's PAC is busy dumping mailers in people's mailboxes, talking about Republican platform issues. I mean, even those platitudes, Kit, and I understand your frustration that they're platitudes, but they are platitudes that are consistent with the Republican platform. So my point is that if the platform wasn't popular with voters, they wouldn't be telling voters that their candidates are conservative. Obviously, the platform is popular with voters. That's why people vote for the Republican Party.
Well, it's really funny, because the other one that is, you know, the one that says he's an outsider. None of the people are outsiders. And that's part of the problem. Everybody that I'm looking at, the majority of them, not all, but the majority of them are not outsiders. They're players. They've been in politics, or they know someone who's been in politics, like Bergamo Baxham and everything else. And they're all a member of this club. And guess what? As George Carlin used to say, you ain't in it. You are not part of the club. They want to use you, but that's it. They will use you. They will use your money, your time, and everything else. But you aren't part of that club, and you're never going to be part of that club. And this is the problem, is that they call us the lunatic fringe, but I think there's more of us out here than them. The question is, there's more people in China than there are the ruling party, and yet those people are oppressed and suppressed. If several million people, you'd think, stood up and decided they were walking towards where the Chinese parliament was, they could probably get something done. But what do they all do? They sit and allow 63 million people to be locked up in Shanghai and have their doors welded shut, because that's following the orders and being good. We are to the point now where I don't know if we can come back, and I don't care what letter is after somebody's name anymore. There's doggone few people and platforms out there that we can actually vote for that I think are going to be put forth with more than platitudes. Terry?
Well, I think that even in North Dakota, we saw it with the COVID thing, to my opinion. We still went way too far, to in my opinion, the wrong way with the mask mandates and other things. And what I find interesting is, just on a side note of that, John Hopkins, which they all love, well, they used to all love, then put a study out saying that basically everything people like us said were
was
right,
correct,
and they were wrong. The masks don't work, the lockdowns don't work, and go on and on and on. But the point, even in our state, and I used to regularly go to the website to analyze their data. And of course, we were talking this before we went on the air. And now they've scrubbed their website. You can't get all the facts out anymore. They've changed the categories. They've done things. And for one thing, it's because the majority of people now getting the China flu are vaccinated and boosted, because all of us already had it. And so I agree with you. I just think that people, our main thing we have to do is get the message to these people that the people in power are not your friends. Kid, and I talked to you about this. There's a dam. There's a dam up by Walhalla.
Yes.
It's made of earth. It's 70 years old. They had to have Black Hawk helicopters to go in there and dump. Okay, if they cared about the role of government. Is the role of government to go subsidize all the downtowns across North Dakota because your governor likes to go downtown? Or would it be to fix a 70-year-old dam that's ready to break and fall apart and flood and potentially kill people? I don't know about you, Jared, but it seems to me a dam about ready to break and potentially kill people and destroy property is more important than going through downtown and looking at the fancy streetlights that were subsidized by taxpayer dollar. What do you think, Jared?
Well, before you answer, Jared, it's not the first time they've had to...
Oh, that's the point,
they've
yes.
They've had to put that dam. That dam has put people in peril. It's the Bull Bay Dam, and that dam has been rescued at least three times.
I know.
So, Jared, what the heck can we do?
Yeah, I would say that's a damn problem. it's all about priorities. Taxes, and we got to go back to the fundamental moral principles here, and we come full circle. We can talk about moral principles here behind term limits. That's kind of where we started when we started talking about George Washington. It's the same thing when it comes to taxes and spending money on projects. The only morally justifiable use of tax dollars is to provide agreed upon core constitutionally sound services that provide a public benefit. A dam is a good example of that. But the problem is, we get our priorities screwed up because, for example, in Bismarck, they spend hundreds of millions of dollars over the years putting money into, for example, the Commerce Department budget, 90% of which, if was abolished overnight, the average North Dakota taxpayer wouldn't even notice. The only people noticing it would be the people who receive the special benefits and the grant money and that sort of thing. So we have this real problem in our mindset where we don't focus on the priorities. If we can get back to the priorities, we can fix it. Now, I might be more of an optimist than you are, Kit. I actually think we can steer things in the right direction. And the reason I believe that is because I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it on the ground in a lot of these districts where patriots, conservatives, and just really just decent people are showing up. They're getting involved. They're paying attention. They're holding their legislators accountable. They're building relationships with their legislators. They're educating them. They're running for office. we're seeing this start to change across the state. And so I'm pretty optimistic that long-term, and maybe not even long-term, maybe of the next 2 to 5 years, we're going to start to see some big changes. And we've already seen some of it where we've seen where single individuals, I mean, look at the impact that Rick Becker had in the legislature, and he's kind of a pinata of some people. But the fact they keep talking about him is representative of the fact that he's been very effective at organizing the conservative legislators around ideas in the legislature that hadn't happened before. So I'm an optimist. I think we can change things. I think it's already happening on the ground, but we've got to get out there and do the work. I've seen it in many, many different races that I've been involved in. Hard work and boots on the ground beats the big money. I've seen it happen many times, but you can't sit around. You've got to get out there and do it.
Terry?
I couldn't agree more. To me, the number one issue in America is there are way too many people who are way too comfortable doing nothing. Their country is being destroyed in front of them. In Grand Forks, I'm going to list six things about the school system in Grand Forks. You'd think I'm describing Baltimore, but this is the school system in Grand Forks right now. Their buildings are falling apart. They're broke. They're teaching critical race theory, which is against state law. They have boys who say they're girls going in and dressing and undressing with girls in their locker room.
And the perverse.
Yeah. And so they're having more and more behavioral issues, and their test scores are down. Okay, that sounds like an inner city school, does it not? That's Grand Forks, North Dakota. And the point being is, if you're not going to get concerned about your family and your country, you have a choice to make. I tell people all the time, I don't want to get that involved in politics. So I said, trust me, the politicians are going to be involved with you. You have a choice. You can either be part of the solution, or one day when you're on your knee, like in Shanghai, and doing what you're told, you're going to say, those three people I heard on a Monday in Grand Forks on the radio, on the Best Source show, they were right. I should have got involved.
Well, I got to tell you, as I was going around talking to people last night, one guy looked at me and said, you're not a politician, are you? And I said, no, I'm not, sir. I said, actually, I'd really rather be sitting at home with a beer in my hand with my husband watching the birds come into the feeder. But you know what? I've reached the point where I've got to do something. Someone has to do something. And everybody wants somebody else to be that someone because it's a burden. I do not want to do this, but I have to. And I think we need to get to that point where more people wake up and realize you are someone. Well, you don't have to run for the office, but get out there, hand out some flyers, support some people that you know are good people that have the same points of view that you do, because allowing the status quo to continue is not doing it anything. And I believe the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And unfortunately, we are out of time, so I am going to let each of you guys have one more word. Jared, what would you like to tell everybody before we say bye-bye?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Second of all, I would say for the folks that are interested in following along, you can go to our website, NorthDakotaForTermLimits.com. That's for F-O-R, NorthDakotaForTermLimits.com. We have a lot of information on the ballot measure there, frequently asked questions. You can donate if you wish. If it does get to legal proceedings, those can get expensive. So, I would encourage you to just follow along. And again, go do some internet searches, check with some of your local groups that you can trust, people you trust, find out who your local candidates are, and get out there and help them. We've got 3 weeks to Election Day. Again, the election in North Dakota is June 14th. It's not November. You have to make a difference June 14th.
Terry.
Couldn't agree more. The election is in 3 weeks. So get out there and vote for conservatives. And I'll just say this to people. If you're concerned about what friends or family might say about you or what they think about you because of your conservatism, you need to look in the mirror and make this decision. My country and my family is more important than what some so-called friend, and I'll say it, what some so-called family member might think about me. Your country and your family is more important than their personal opinion. There's plenty of liberals. I say, you can call me whatever you want, just don't call me late for supper. don't pay attention to that. Let it roll. You just get thick skin, because the day the liberals start coming after you, that's the day you can go home and smile and say to yourself, I'm making a difference. They don't attack the sick and the weak. They only attack the strong.
And I would like to leave everybody with this little note. If something seems wrong, if something doesn't seem right to you, it probably isn't. Question everything. Ask everybody why and why not. And if somebody isn't willing to give you a factual answer or an answer that has some meat to it rather than just a platitude, they're not the person you should probably be voting for because they don't have any skin in the game. So everybody from Common Sense Uncensored, it's another one under the belt. Goodbye, people.